Mrs. Moore and Me, a short story by Lee Wimmer and Hightower Publications, 4th edition, copyright October 2024 by Lee Wimmer. This is a work of fiction. Any similarities, descriptions, locations, persons, or businesses is purely coincidental and not the intention or implication by the author. And now, Mrs. Moore and Me.
I haven't talked about this for a long time.
Lee glanced over at Laura. The beautiful bride seemed to glow even brighter as he began the story. Looking at him, her eyes twinkled, and she tossed her long, curly brown hair over her shoulder in a way that seemed quirky.
Are you going to tell the story, or do I have to?
She teased Lee, pushing on his shoulder in a playful affection.
Now, you want me to tell the story? Right now?
Lee appeared at unease with his bow tie, as if it were cutting circulation. It was obvious he'd love to lose the contraption. Or maybe that's how he dealt with his nerves over telling the story.
Yes, of course, tell the story.
Laura pursed her lips in a pout, clearly something she used often. Maybe it was from her natural tendency to showboat. She has a way of using it, attracting others.
They want to know how we got together. Besides, it's a great story.
Lee sighed, a seemingly reluctant smile tugged at his lips.
I'm not much of a storyteller.
Lee always hid the fact that he was an accomplished actor, with a degree to show for it.
You'll do just fine.
Laura leaned over, whispered something in Lee's ear, then kissed him on the cheek. Just like that, Lee seemed to gain his courage.
These memories are bittersweet. They are memories from my childhood. I had just turned 12 2 weeks earlier. I was a shy kid, a quiet country boy. I was still unsure of myself in the world. The self-doubt clung to me like the red Georgia clay can stick to the bottoms of your shoes. Somehow, by accident, divine intervention, something special happened, maybe by pure accident. A pretty girl my age came pedaling her bicycle down the gravel road I lived on. I'd never seen her before. She was so pretty. Her blonde hair in a ponytail came out the back of her white Nike hat. And she wasn't bashful like me.
The young girl stopped at the end of Lee's driveway, putting her feet down to hold her bike steady.
Hi, my name is Elizabeth. What's your name?
Hi, I'm Lee. I wanted to say more, but the way the words popped out so spastically, I dipped my chin instead. Fortunately, she wasn't going to let that stop her from making a new friend.
Want to ride down to the lake with me? Mom says I shouldn't ride down there alone.
She put her left foot back on the pedal as if trying to demonstrate she was ready to go, adjusting her hat around her ponytail. Lee seemed to be in a daze.
I was shocked. I felt all fuzzy inside, like when you have sweet tea for the first time. What could I say? She was pretty. I was sure I had found heaven, or it had found me. I could tell Liz was far more mature than me, both physically and mentally. She was tall for her age. She seemed to have wisdom that beyond her years. I could sense Liz's spirit was sweet, like wild honey, and it was impossible not to adore her. I loved everything about her, especially the way she breathed life into everything. She had an obsession with adventure and with romance. That summer, just to be close to her, I made her dreams my own.
Lee looked over at Laura, sliding his hand over hers.
Is this okay so far?
It's perfect. Keep going.
The jazz band Lee and Laura hired began softly playing music. Several couples went to the dance area as others looked on. So, beginning that Saturday morning, a sweltering Georgia morning in early July, our journey began. The humidity hung in the air like a hot, damp blanket, and cicadas buzzed so loudly I can almost hear them now. Liz and I rode our bikes down the old gravel road, finding a lake house back off the road, just across from a dilapidated pier. The old house was a relic from days long gone by. Abandoned for what must have been years, the wooden steps were rotting and crumbling, sun-bleached. But none of that bothered Liz. To her, it was magical, a canvas for her brilliant imagination. I still remember how she described it. She had a burning desire for make-believe. She spun dreams that were wildly out of control and took us places with few limits. We laughed and cried in those dreams, sometimes forgetting we were just two kids riding bikes during summer break in a small town.
Right there. That's where we'll put the band and sound system. Can you hear it? Everyone will love the jazz they play. My mom and dad will sit over there in the corner by the large potted hydrangea. and yours will be right beside them, toasting us.
Her eyes sparkled as she envisioned the scene, and in that moment I wished I could see what she saw. To me, the lake house looked old and run down. The paint was peeling, the columns desperately needed repair. There were cobwebs in every corner. But in her world, the columns were regal, grand. She had a way of seeing things not as they were, but how they could be. And when she held my hand just so, even the most mundane things appeared enchanted, captivating me with her ability to paint the world with her words. I can still hear her voice.
Let's pretend this is our wedding day.
Now Liz was smiling. It could have lit up the entire Texas sky. Even though one of her front teeth was missing, it did light up Lee's heart. She put one hand on her hip while clasping his in the other.
Married? I was stunned. I was 12. What did I know about married? Liz laughed, a sound I loved.
Ha ha ha. Yes, married. It will be fun. I'll take care of everything. Our families, the pastor, and all our friends will be here, celebrating us. It will be a grand event. Grander than anything this state or Lake Raboon has ever seen.
She watched me. I could feel her excitement, her expectation. She lifted her chin high, her brown eyes sparkling in the evening sunlight with hope. How could I say no?
You'll be wearing a black tuxedo, and your shirt will be ruffled with white trim to match my gown. My gown will be covered in jewels of every color, and they'll sparkle like stars.
She took my hand, spinning around and around, as if showing off that gown.
We'll dance our first dance right here.
While Liz beheld the grandeur of the old antebellum house, it was a shell of its former self. Lee later learned it had sit empty for 20 years after its former owners had passed. The heir lived in London and was far removed from the house's memories.
But to us, the place was ours, our little piece of paradise, where anything seemed possible. Those bike rides to the house were magical. I'll never forget how Liz moved through the space, spinning tales of the people who once lived there, describing parties that echoed through the halls, and dances that took place beneath a southern moon. Liz, as I would discover, had a way of looking back, almost as if she could see events taking place from long ago. Was she clairvoyant? I don't think so, just brilliantly gifted. She was able to imagine a world full of love, laughter, and endless possibilities. She even described the yachts tied to the pier. The tone for the next 3 weeks was set. I never imagined how detailed or serious she would become playing house. Like I said, obsessed, consumed by our fantasy life, as if she were making plans for a time to come. Playing house had fringe benefits. The Moors, as she liked to call us since it was my last name, were happily married, exploring their love, as kids that age do. That always came with dancing, laughing, and music. She even brought dinner, snacks, and sodas for us to eat. She also brought her cassette recorder and played jazz, really. Louis Armstrong and lots of the greats. Even now I can't listen to jazz without thinking about my Liz. At least she was mine for 3 weeks that summer.
Lee looked sideways at Laura, probably wondering how she felt about him and saying my Liz. She didn't bat an eye.
After 2 weeks, things started to change, getting a little weird. I struggled with it. It was the day after she gave me my first big boy kiss. She took her hands and placed them on my cheeks and drew my face to hers, ready to kiss me. What if I do it wrong? I pulled away.
Don't be silly. You'll be great.
She smiled, and it seemed to reassure Lee as she pushed her ponytail over her left shoulder.
Still, I'll never forget how scared I was, afraid I was going to do it wrong, and excited that Liz wanted to kiss me. Well, Mrs. Moore wanted to kiss me. She pressed her lips to mine. It was all innocent, but it felt real. She said to me,
"See, I told you it would be great."
Her smile told me all I needed to know. As the days passed, we continued our game of playing house. Liz's obsession grew, consumed by the idea that we were Mr. and Mrs. Moore, newlyweds who had bought the old house and were restoring it to its former glory, including packing the snacks and drinks for us, calling them dinner parties. I couldn't have been happier, spending every day with the girl of my dreams. One day, after we had finished playing house and were sitting on the old porch, feet dangling down the broken down steps, Liz seemed quieter than usual. She didn't say much, just stared out over the water as the sun began to set. Then, without warning, she turned to me, her eyes filled with tears.
"I have to go to Atlanta soon."
Her voice trembling, she slid the picnic basket over.
They want to run some tests, some experimental drugs for my disease.
She reached into the picnic basket she'd brought, pulling out an apple, offering it to Lee. He shook his head no, so she took a bite out of the apple.
She described to me how Mrs. Moore was probably going to go ahead of Mr. Moore and make sure the angels had our lake house ready. Then it happened, her tooth broke when she bit into the apple. The small broken tooth fell on the porch, spinning and bouncing until it landed on an old photograph, the one we pretended was us. It was a picture of a couple who had moved into the home on their wedding day, some 70 years earlier. I was stunned. Disease. Tests. I didn't know what to say. I had no idea Liz was sick. All I knew was that she was my Liz, my best friend, my first love.
I didn't want to tell you.
Her voice cracking, she struggled on and continued.
I'm sorry I didn't tell you before, but I was having such a good time being Mrs. Moore. I didn't want to lose you. I didn't want to ruin everything. But I'll be leaving soon, and I don't know if I'll ever come back.
She shared how the chemo was weakening her bones, how even her teeth were beginning to break or just fall out, explaining the missing tooth. No matter, she was perfect to me. I bent over to pick up her broken tooth, and I felt a magical pulse flow through my body while holding her tooth in my hand. To my surprise, the old photograph looked just like us. It didn't hit me at the moment. I handed her the tooth back, asking if she wanted to close her eyes and make a wish. I took her hands in mine, and we closed our eyes as she silently made her wish.
I'm so scared. I wished we could stay here forever, just you and me.
Lee reached out and pulled her close, wrapping his arms wrapped tightly around her as they sat on the edge of their grand old porch. He didn't know what to do, so he cried too.
That was our last day at the lake house, our last day of pretending, of playing house. We rode our bikes back to her house, and one more time she hugged me tightly. She probably knew she would never return to the lake house or see me again. We cried. Through my tears, I saw her mom looking out the window as her young Elizabeth said her goodbyes. She was crying too. Liz's dad came over and hugged her mom. They watched us through the window.
Liz kissed Lee on the cheek and looked into his eyes.
Mr. Moore, I will see you again one day.
She turned and ran, crying every step of the way. Then she vanished into their home. Lee would never be the same again.
The Cooneys knew my mom. They'd told her the night before about Elizabeth's condition, knowing the next day would be our last together. She was in the last stage of her cancer. The hospital in Atlanta was given permission to try a new life-saving treatment, her only hope. My Liz would fight with every ounce of strength she had. After graduating from high school, I moved to New York City, leaving behind my boyhood dreams and fantasies, all except one, never fully forgetting Liz. I attended a small college and received a bachelor's degree in theater. I think my love for the theater and acting came from a seed planted those wonderful days spent at the lake house. I knew my Mrs. Moore would be so proud. Shortly after receiving my degree, I began studying a script for my first role in an off-Broadway production, but my dad suffered a stroke, and I came back to Georgia to help Mom. It took Dad months to get back to a place she could manage him by herself, so I stayed to help, hoping one day to get back to acting on Broadway. As you might have guessed by now, that never happened. I began jogging to keep my mind clear. Working with medically challenged parents can drain your energy and soul. You must maintain yourself as well. The first day I ran by the lake house brought a flood of bittersweet memories. It was strange how short the distance was. Back then, it seemed to be a world away from my house. When I sat on the porch where Liz and I sat that last day, I could see her face, her tears, and felt my heart breaking all over again for her. Mrs. Moore was quite a lady, my heart aching once more. Soon I began stopping to catch my breath or just daydream about my first love. I wondered what became of my Liz. Her family had moved away that fall and the update stopped. Mom assumed Liz had gone ahead, to heaven that is. Where all good little girls and boys go, she said. I feared she was right. My finances weren't great, having not worked for months, but I had to know, had Liz gone ahead? I hired a private detective to do some research. Meanwhile, I began writing our story, remembering every detail, especially the Nike hat, her smile and ponytail, but I couldn't recapture how I felt when she held my hand. It was magical.
Lee had begun working from his parents' home as well, editing and collaborating with directors in New York City online, starting a financial pipeline that has blossomed into a prosperous business.
I heard back from the detective, and as Mom had said those years ago, Liz indeed had gone ahead of Mr. Moore. I knew then I had to capture the story, the raw emotion, for my beautiful and brave Liz. Dad was finally getting better, well, as good as he ever will. So I started thinking about buying the lake house. It had become such a part of my memories with Liz, the play, and I felt drawn to it, like it was unfinished business, waiting for me. My realtor tracked down the owners who live in London. Apparently, they had forgotten about their inheritance on Lake Raboon, the property lost in time and untouched maybe because money wasn't a concern for them. When I explained Liz's story, how much the place meant to her and the condition it had fallen into, Mr. Oliver, the owner, surprised me. He decided to give the land and the home to me in exchange for a donation to the local cancer society in Liz's name. It felt like a miracle. I gladly made the arrangements, donating under Liz's magical make-believe name, Mrs. Moore.
The lake house became theirs, Mr. and Mrs. Moore's.
If you're still wondering how we got here, that's where the miracle lies. Life has a funny way of turning out. After buying the house, I found myself going out more, mostly just to fill the silence. I started meeting up with some old high school friends at the bowling alley, of all places, and before I knew it, I had joined a league. It was a bit of a joke, everyone else was decent, and I was providing the laughs. Who knew there were so many ways to throw a gutter ball? But it wasn't just about the game, it was something to do, a way to feel human again. I'll be honest though, it did bug me a little that the kids on the other lanes were scoring better than me. Sure, they had those bumpers to keep the ball out of the gutter, but still. So, I started practicing on Tuesday afternoons. It was on one of those practice days that fate, or maybe something more, stepped in. That's when Laura's salon group started showing up for their weekly ladies' time. I wasn't trying to impress anyone with my stellar bowling skills, but somehow we ended up talking. At first, just casual stuff. She was warm and funny even when she teased me about my gutter ball champion's title. Whether it was sympathy or just her finding someone she could beat, I didn't care. I asked her out after a few months. Laura accepted.
Lee glanced over at Laura. She was smiling, obviously approving of his take on the story, rubbing Lee's shoulder.
He was terrible, especially at first. But there seemed to be something that drew me toward him, as if there was an aura about him. I didn't know, but he was cute, so I said yes.
Laura wrapped her hand around his wrist.
Our first date was magical. She had a way of making everything feel light and fun, just like tonight. I'd been home for 7 months, working on the lake house, rebuilding not just the structure, but the memories. I took Laura there on our second date, thinking she'd love it as much as I did, but her reaction caught me off guard. I told her about the games Liz and I used to play, how we laughed, danced, and made music in our imaginary world on that porch. I thought Laura would be touched by the story, but I had underestimated how much of my pain was still buried beneath. Telling it brought all of that back, and I couldn't hide it. I didn't want to relive the hurt, but if I was going to tell the story right, I had to. After that, I didn't see Laura for weeks. I thought that was it. She had seen my past, my scars, and didn't want any part of it. I had lost so much of the confidence I had when I was younger. But then, unexpectedly, Laura reached out.
My girlfriends went on vacation and the salon was shut down, so we didn't go bowling for a while. And I had some thinking to do. I didn't know how to react to the story. He obviously still cared about Liz.
Laura leaned over and kissed Mr. Moore.
On our next date, Laura shared something that floored me. When she was just becoming a teenager, she had broken her leg.
Lee checked to see if Laura wanted him to continue. She shook her head. Yes.
While visiting her grandparents in Atlanta, at the hospital, she had met a girl her own age in the MRI waiting room, a girl named Elizabeth. There had been a terrible accident on the freeway, and the MRI was briefly tied up, so they had to wait.
Squeezing Lee's shoulder, Laura took over.
Liz, the name the girl wanted me to call her, appeared to be in extreme pain. She had a necklace with a tooth on a thin gold chain she clutched while talking about a boy named Lee Moore, her best friend, and the magical summer they had just spent playing house on a lake. It seemed to be Liz's way of dealing with the pain she was in. After the MRI, I didn't see Liz again. But later, Liz's mom gave me the necklace, saying it was a gift from Liz. She wanted her new friend to have it so she could live, laugh, and love through me. Liz had shared how the golden tooth had broken on her last day with Mr. Moore, and she kept it as a symbol of their friendship, love, and time together. When I came to the lake house with Lee, it felt like a pulse of magic surged through me, the same way it did when Liz's mom gave me the necklace. I had fidgeted with it during our date, and at that moment, I knew she was supposed to be there. With Lee, I felt the magical pulse again, there, on the dock. But it scared me. The past, the connection, the weight of it all, it was overwhelming. I needed time to think. It seemed impossible the boy Liz loved that summer had become the man I wanted. No, needed to love. It took time, but I could sense Liz smiling down on me, bringing us together.
I locked eyes with Laura, my Mrs. Moore. I became speechless the first time hearing this story. But here we are, 9 months after we met, standing on the dock I had rebuilt, the house alive again with music, love, and laughter. Now, if you all will excuse us, Mrs. Moore and I have a dance to share.
Soft notes of jazz floated through the air just like in their daydreams. Laura smiled, her eyes full of warmth and something that appeared deeper. Maybe a connection that ran through the years, linking everyone in ways no one could have imagined.
I thought you'd never ask, Mr. Moore.
She winked to their guests. As they swayed to the rhythm of the music, the lake house became theirs, full of the same magic Liz and Lee had created all those summers ago. Only now, it was shared with someone new, someone who could help Lee write the next chapter of the story. And for the first time in a long time, Lee felt peace. The end.